Okay. What is your name?
My name is Jenny Betchert.
And where do you live?
We live north of Ashland.
Okay. And what's your occupation?
I am a rancher.
And how old are you?
I am 39.
Okay. When did you first become aware of the Starbuck fire, hereafter referred to simply as the fire in general?
After lunch on that Monday, we noticed some smoke in the valley, and so we called Adam Elliott to see if he knew about any fires, and he said there was one down by Inglewood. And so CJ, my brother-in-law, ended up calling some more people and decided to fill up our water truck and take it down in case they needed a little bit more water. And my mom started making some sandwiches to take to the firefighters. And then before all that came together, another fire started straight west of us. And the wind was out of the west. So at that time, CJ decided to stay home, and we started trying to decide what we were going to do with our cattle.
So everybody pretty much around home, were your children in school?
Yeah, the boys, my two oldest boys, Peyton is 10 and Ethan was 7 at the time, or almost 8. They were in school that day, and I had Gentry, who was 4, was home with me and my mom. My nephew Giles was with us, and my sister Katie was actually home that day with her kids because Addie had had a tonsillectomy on Friday, so she'd stayed home with her kids that day. So once the fire was out of the west and we tried to start deciding what we were going to do, I originally that afternoon was taking some beef to Oferly for Oferly Co-op's annual meeting. So we kind of regrouped, and Mom ended up taking that to Buckland to meet my aunt there. We dropped off all the kids with Katie, and CJ and Laura Burant, our intern, and my sister Molly and CJ, my sister Molly and CJ, got horses in and saddled, and they actually were somewhat forward-thinking. They put all the rest of the horses in a trailer, loaded them in a trailer, and left it there in the yard. And CJ and Laura were horseback, and Molly was in a pickup, and they started dragging pears to wheat. My dad went to kind of the northwest corner of the ranch to drag bulls onto wheat, and at that point, the fire was on the ranch, and we thought that it would probably just clip the northwest corner of the ranch the way the wind was, so we still weren't super concerned. He came back south. At some point during that, my brother-in-law, Brett, came home. I talked to my husband, Shane, a few times. He was south of town where the fire was getting pretty bad, but he was trying to check his cattle there. And we were still fine at home. So I ended up getting in with my dad, and we started trying to drag cattle to wheat, too. We went up kind of somewhat towards the middle of the ranch, towards Katie's house, and at that point saw flames that were maybe a half a mile north of our house. So we told Katie and Brett, and they started getting some things together, and Katie took the kids then. My mom was back on the ranch, and Katie took all the kids to my mom then. So she would have had 4 of the 6 grandkids. Dad and I then went and tried to go up the middle of the ranch on a county road and ran into Tanner Dixon, a wildlife and parks officer, and he said we couldn't get through. The fire was already across the road there. So then we went around to decided to go to Dad's house to try to get horses. Katie went then and hooked onto a trailer and met us up there, and Dad got the horses into the pens, but at that point the fire was coming over the hill into their yard. So that is something we will all regret, is we turned the horses loose, and if we'd left them in the pens.
So when you first saw the fire and the and smoke, lots of smoke, or what was your first impression of the fire?
There was smoke, but mainly just seeing flames and seeing them that close.
Had the wind shifted from the first
time? The winds were shifting as we were moving through all this. And finally, when we were at Dad's house, the winds were shifting to the north then. And that's when we decided we had to get out. So Katie left to go south and unhook and was going to try to drag more cattle. as Dad and I headed south, we tried to cut fences for cattle along the way because they were headed south in the pastures we were in. And two different groups, we would cut the fence and they were coming towards us, and then they would all of a sudden turn around and run back into the fire.
What do you think made them turn around?
Disorientation? No, I have no idea. But it was the weirdest thing. And that's when Dad said, everybody's just got to get off.
And
so we called. We all were going to meet in protection. So Dad and I were together. Molly was by herself. Mom and Brett were each in cars. Mom had all the kids. At some point during the evacuation, Brett ended up hitting a cow in the smoke. So he ended up having to get in with my mom, which turned out to be a good thing. That gave her some support. And so the pressure of having all the kids wasn't solely on her.
Yep.
And then Katie called, and she had gotten trapped.
Was she in the south part of the ranch?
She was, towards the south, kind of in the southeast part of the ranch. And
is that because the wind shifted?
Because of the wind shift. When the wind shifted, it was so coming so quickly.
Yeah.
And it was a straight line, solidly from east to west across the north into the ranch at that point.
Could you see roads when you were going down the road?
We could. It was really, really smoky, but we stayed in front of it. Katie got caught in the smoke, and she couldn't see anything. And
so about how long was she caught? Do you have an idea?
I would guess maybe a couple of hours. She was able, the smoke cleared just enough that she could see a wheat field, and she pulled into the middle of the wheat field. And her and I were on the phone most of the afternoon. Then Brett, when he switched cars, left his phone, so she wasn't able to talk to him. So her and I were together, and we prayed a lot. And then we also found out CJ and Laura couldn't make it off. They actually drove through the line of fire to get back to a shed to take shelter. And they were pulling a horse and trailer and pulled into the shed as the and let the fire go over them and blow through the yard there. And then they were able to get out, and they saved the shed that they were in by they used mineral sacks to threw mineral on the wood posts until it died down enough that CJ could go up and get the water truck, and then they brought that. My aunt and uncle from Oferley ended up coming in behind the fire then and got Katie off the field, and they all went over to the young brother's place then to help CJ with the shed there. One sad thing is CJ, while he was there, ended up having to watch his home
burn. Yeah. So did you all make it to protection, or did you rendezvous someplace else?
As we all made it to protection, I guess I need to back up too. When we were pulling up by Katie's house and saw the fire, at that point I finally saw my phone. I had a lot of missed calls from the school and from Becky Lerman. And I didn't realize they were evacuating the town and had let school out. But they wouldn't let Becky take the kids until one of Shane or I had approved it. And she, in the meantime, had gotten a hold of Shane, and she had the kids. And
so she took them home with
her. She took them home with her, and then she took them to protection to her mom's. And then finally we all ended up meeting in Coldwater. And
so did you spend the night in Coldwater?
We did not. We met at the Catholic church there and kind of regrouped, and had to go buy diapers and some snacks for the kids. And we decided to try to go back then. We talked to my aunt and knew that they'd gotten Katie off, and they were all together with CJ and Laura. And also ended up finding out that my mom's friend, Sylvia Sellard, and another neighbor, Justin, I can't think of his name, but a kid that grew up north of us, they came in behind the fire and used garden hoses to keep my mom's house safe.
Oh, cool. So was it dark by the time you went back? Or
it was still daylight when we left.
I
would say maybe 6 o'clock. I just don't know. Not sure on times. But we decided to go back across, and we were taking the Lexington Road and ended up getting caught in another fire. It was the creek bed was burning still, and we drove through a farmstead that was on fire. And burning across the road, and pulled into a wheat field. And we think we sat there maybe an hour, hour and a half. And at that point, Travis Price from Buckland, we'd been on the phone with him, and he came in from the north, or from the west then, and from behind the fire and let us off. My husband ended up driving over a deer antler and had a flat tire, but yeah. Travis had a air tank on the back and got him going. We had to, in the middle of the field then while we were leaving, Shane had all of our, I left this part out. Shane at some point during all of this decided, he came home. I told him the fire was on the ranch. So he came home and got all of our horses and our dog and our bucket calves and met up with us in Coldwater. So we had, yes, you can go. Yeah. You can read it. We'll check it out. Yeah, go ask him. Anyhow, we had to unhook the trailer off of him and hook it on to my sister Molly's truck so that we could get off the field. And at that point, it was, I think, 9 or 9:30, and we decided the kids needed to be home. So Molly, Brett, and I took all the kids and went to Buckland, and we stayed with Sellards that night.
Who told you that the houses were gone? Did they mostly burn before you left? Or
no, Katie told us that the houses were gone. And I don't know who called and told. I assume Sylvia must have called my mom and said, your house is okay. We did not think we'd see my dad's place when we left. But I never, it never occurred to me that all those homes would go.
Yeah. So what was your first reaction when you knew you didn't have a house?
It was just a pretty surreal night. Sad. I asked three different people before I finally accepted
that it was gone.
Yeah.
So what about when you're in the wheat field? Did you have to go across down power lines to get back to your place, or was there none of that?
No. To get in the wheat field, we were fine. And I remember we kind of had to go around a few things to get back to the highway, but I don't remember anything major being down.
Did you see any firefighters up there?
No.
Then? Did you see anybody on tractors and, you know, like plowing?
No.
Or
at that point,
anybody with their own supply tank?
No.
Water tanks?
When we saw the fire in close to Katie's house, I called, and they said they would have somebody up there in a little bit, and then they called back about 30 minutes later and said they were really sorry, but they were all called in to protect Ashlyn. And it was a blessing that they weren't. I can't imagine where they would have, somebody would have gotten hurt had they come out there.
So you spent the night in Buckland.
We did.
And then did you return on Tuesday?
We did. So one, I guess, well, the brightness of the evening was while we were at Sellards. When Shane was picking up stuff, he said, I'm not getting your cat. He said, I can't find her, but I have a house cat. And she'd been inside when I left that morning. And he went back through the house and was getting to see if he was going to grab stuff. And he ended up, he could see flames, and he just left. And so I was kind of sad. I mean, of all the things to be sad about a cat is probably silly, but we were sad about that. And I can't think of his name. I can see his face. Clay Vigil called Shane and said, so your house is gone. Shane said, yeah, we heard that. He goes, well, I'm sitting in your driveway, but I see a cat.
Oh.
He ended up catching two cats and taking them to his mom, Tammy's, and she kept them for probably a week or a week and a half until we could take them.
Was one your house cat?
Yes, until Gentry took it home. And one of them was our house cat. I have no idea how she made it out. Her one whole side of her body was really singed, and her ears were crispy, but she didn't. Her feet were fine. The other cat didn't have any problems. And then when we went back the next day, we found a third cat. And it had a burn mark on its hip, but other than that, was fine. And so three of our four cats survived.
That's cool. So now, did you make a plan about what you were going to do once you returned home, or did you kind of get there and see what you had to deal with?
We the next morning, everybody that was in town kind of took off. I stayed with the kids until my mom got there, but everybody else loaded up and went to try to start taking care of things. The first morning, those first few hours, I think, were just evaluating what was there, and it was kind of just surreal and in a daze. I remember when I finally made it out there, it was probably 10 or 10:30 in the morning by the time I got out there, and I was on the phone with my Aunt Audrey. And I remember driving down the road just saying, there is nothing left. Right away, people came. Everybody in the Ashland community had been affected, but where my sisters and I went to school in Buckland, and Dad went to school in Spearville, all of those communities came then.
So they bring...
They brought... I have no idea what they brought, but I know that we never were hungry. And Shelley and Tim Peterson came over from Protection, and Sellards and Matt Immel. And I know there was other people too, but those were the ones that rode around with us and put down animals that day.
So did it take you more than one day to put down animals or
didn't.
Find animals?
The first day was just family and some close friends. And then the second day, Dr. Darwin Kellenberger came out to help make calls on some, whether they would make it or not. And then the Wildlife and Parks officers came. They were angels. We could not have... that first day really took its toll on everybody that was having to put them down. And they came, and we are so grateful that they showed up. At some point in time, they were, they'd reached their overtime max, so they got called away. They came back in plain clothes. Then something changed, and they were able to go back on duty again. But they spent, I think, at least 2 or 3 days helping us put down cattle. Mm-hmm. And then over the next 10 days, they still had to keep putting down wildlife.
So did you have any cattle survive?
We did. On the day of the fire, yes, you may. On the day of the fire, we had a little over 1,000 cows, and when it was all said and done, we had a little under 500 left. Of the cows. Most of our stockers made it. They were all on meat pasture. I think we lost 10. But we lost 50% of our cows and about 75% of our calf crop for the year. So we spent the next 2 weeks finding the deads and piling them up and documenting that and then burying them.
Did you have help to document and to bury them?
We did. We kind of divided up. I took care of... running the crews that volunteers that came to help us with the deads. Molly and CJ were in charge of the live ones, gathering up what was left and feeding it and caring for what was left alive. And then Katie and Brett took care of all of the donations that were coming in.
So where were you staying?
The first night we stayed at Sellards, and then after that, there's a house a mile down the road from us that my aunts keep. And okay, just wait your turn. Just look at it, okay?
Your aunt's house?
We were saying, so it did not burn. So my family moved into my aunt's house. Molly and CJ moved up by my parents, with my parents, and Katie and Brett moved into town with Brett's family. And that's where we're still at right now.
How hard was it when you lost the office?
That was just as hard as losing my house. I had a lot of things there, personal things there. I spent just as much time there as I did at my house.
Did you have any backups of some of your information somewhere else?
We did. We were lucked out that way. The majority of our files I had backed up on OneDrive, and all of our QuickBooks files I had sent to the accountants. So, I mean, we just had to create maybe a month or two of everything. The only thing I didn't have backed up was I'm the secretary for our church, and I didn't have that backed up. But we did lose all of our photos. I didn't have any of those backed up online. So I had an external hard drive that I backed everything up on, uh-huh. and it was gone. And mm-hmm. things that I would either take to the office to have for home or take to home to have for the office as backup, both of those were gone. So
right. So, okay, you are burying cattle. Does somebody come in and do that?
Yeah, thanks to the power of Facebook, people kept calling and asking what they could do. And after the, I don't know, the first or second night, I put on there, what we need now is dozers or something to bury cattle with.
Right.
And so Scott Tilly, who was in my sister Megan's class, I will in a minute. Do you want to play? Actually, I don't have any battery. Wait just a minute, okay?